You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Pacers fans, it's the last day of the year. Welcome in to the last 2018 episode of the Locked On Pacers podcast, where we talk about the Indiana Pacers 5 days a week. As always, I am one of the hosts of the show, Tony East, with the West Indianapolis Community News and over at 8.9 Seconds. And today is not a weekly show because Adam is on vacation. So everyone congratulate Adam for being able to take a vacation to close out the year. But what that also means is that this week is just me all 5 days. So get excited for that. It's a week of Tony. Me talking too fast and too loud. So get excited for all that. I'll do my best to not talk too fast or too loud and still keep this fun and entertaining. There's a lot to get to this week. I'm going to try to do all 5 weekdays. I know that New Year's Day is in there and people won't be working, but I think I'll have time to do a quick one after the Hawks game tomorrow, I'm hoping, before I do some ball-dropping festivities. So I'll see what I can do, but there will be one out all 5 weekdays this week. Whoop, whoop. So for those of you who do work every day, I hope I can help you out there. Speaking of the Hawks, we're going to start off with a segment talking about previewing the game. It'll be short because they just played, so it won't be it'll just be talking about minor adjustments they can make to not give up 121 points to a terrible team. Then I want to talk about how fun that Pistons game was, and then talk about fun stuff coming up with a roster spot. Whoop, whoop. A lot of fun stuff in this one, because that Pistons game was a hoot, and because roster movement's always fun, and I think having an open roster spot speculating could be fun, and it's about time to talk about it. So let's get right to it, starting with the Hawks. The Hawks stink, and they don't stink as much as we said they did before last game, but they stink. They're 29th in offense and 26th in defense, although they have won 5 of 6, and their only loss was that Pacers loss. So maybe the Hawks don't stink as much as we think. They're currently on fire. They just beat the Timberwolves and Cavs on a back-to-back before this, so maybe the Hawks are good now. And I think this is all just a muse for me, because I've seen people tweeting about this, but I don't have the numbers in front of me to actually say. But Trae Young is deferring more, I think. I don't know if that's exactly right. Maybe his volume of threes is down a bit in this run where they're doing well. And his percentages are up from all over the place, and he's still keeping up some efficiency. So the thought for Atlanta is that they're finding a better role for Young, given his current skill set as a rookie. Maybe when he's better, his old role where he's chucking all the time will be better, but not right now. So this reduced, you know, he only took 11 shots against the Pacers the first time, which was the second lowest of any starter. Only Kevin Huerter shot fewer. So maybe this reduced role is good for him, and clearly something's going right with this team. They've won 5 of 6, which the Pacers have also won. The Pacers haven't even won 5 of 6, right? Six games ago is that Cavs game, if I'm correct. So the Hawks have a better record over the last 6 games than the Pacers, I think. I don't want to get that wrong, so I'm going to type and talk slowly at the same time so I can get that up. But I want to get that right. But even if it's right or wrong, the Hawks are playing good, and the Pacers beating them last week is more impressive when you look at it that way. Yes, I am correct. The Pacers have won 4 of 6, and the Hawks have won 5 of 6. So here we go. We got two hot teams going in this game. The big thing for me is, like I said earlier, they're 29th in offense, and I think they were 29th going into the game these two teams played the day after Christmas, and the Hawks hung 121 up on the Pacers, which was not good. And it's really easy to just write these games off and say, oh, they shot 47% from three. And they did. I think in the first half, they were over 50%. The Hawks were making everything. And, like, yeah, they did. And they're, you know, no team shoots that well. But teams can shoot that well. Me and Adam always talk about the Butcher being the guy who, like, if their highest level of variance happens in their shooting, they could have the impact to swing the game in favor of the other team. Well, say the whole team has like a Butcher-like game, and you know, they get hot and make 60% of their threes, you know, you just lose. But there's a reason for that. Sometimes it's like your rotations are slow on D, or your closeouts aren't crisp, or something is going on with the Pacers not playing great defense that allows them to get these open shots. And Trae Young is really manipulative. He ended up with 9 assists, and he got a lot of open looks for these other dudes. But the Pacers did not look super crisp in that day after Christmas game. Their transition D was sloppier than it usually is, and there was a lot of transition. The Hawks had 19 turnovers. The Pacers had 16. The ball was kind of flying around in this game. So look around for that. If the Pacers can clean up their transition and three-point defense, I don't think the Hawks are going to score 121 again. And if you look over this win streak that I keep talking about, that number is easily the highest they've scored. They beat the Pistons, only scoring 98. They beat the Cavs at 111. They beat the Knicks at 114. So 121 is a lot. Oh, I'm sorry. They scored 123 against Minnesota. But was this overtime? Anyway, it was not. It was overtime. Okay. So in regulation, that was the highest they've scored. So clearly they were really hot from the field, and that influenced them having such a good offense. But at the same time, they were able to get open looks, which the Pacers had to be better at defending. Other than that, though, the Pacers did okay, I think, on D. The two-point percentage for Atlanta wasn't crazy. It was like 52% or something. And they, you know, they shut down everybody but Bazemore. And Bazemore took 25 shots, which is crazy. A crazy amount of shots for not necessarily their lead ball handler. So I think they'll put more of an emphasis on shutting him down, and that will change everything. Or not change everything, but it'll kind of change the way this game goes. And also, he's hurt. Bazemore hurt his ankle in their last game, and he didn't return, so who knows if he'll even be playing or playing at 100%. Dwayne Dedmon had knee soreness, holy moly, and missed their last game, as did Torian Prince. And Bazemore and actually, those might be their three best players besides John Collins, so a depleted Hawks team is even worse than a non-depleted Hawks team, so this could be a cakewalk of a game. Where the Pacers were able to pull this game away is through their bench. Every Hawks player actually had a positive plus-minus, believe it or not. Meanwhile, their bench, Vince Carter, minus 21, DeAndre Bembry, minus 21, Jeremy Lin, minus 13. The guys who played big minutes were not able to keep the Hawks' lead intact, and the Pacers' bench was awesome. Sabonis had 19 and 8, and it was a plus 24. He was killing pretty much every big for the Hawks, but like they have these spry young dudes at all their big spots between Dedmon, John Collins, and Alex Len didn't play, but Dedmon and John Collins and Alex Poitras played a little. Omari Spellman, he's a stretch guy, but he's young. Justin Anderson played the four, so a lot of young spry dudes, and Dedmon had 15 boards, but Sabonis was able to kind of knock guys off their rebounding lines and be a lifeline that they needed, and that's why he was able to be so effective. Corey Joseph was able to be really effective because of his electric defense and effort, and he shot really well, which for him is like the difference between him playing his normal good game or the difference between him playing a great game. When he has 14 points, that's just icing on the cake with his defense. And we all know that Tyreek was awesome in this game shooting the ball. So the bench was really good. They found a way to get it done. And I think they will again. That's just how this Pacers bench is. They're really good. Their depth is easily their biggest strength. So I think that they'll be fine in that way. And I think the Hawks don't shoot as well because the Pacers clean up that three-point defense. So, yeah, I think that they'll win this game, no problem. The Hawks just aren't very good. The Pacers just beat them, and they have to make the most minimal adjustment ever and play the same game to win. And the Pacers' offense really truly did also kind of exceed what you'd expect. They shot 48% from three. But they got to the line 33 times, and that's a freakish amount. But at the same time, that was on the road. And the Hawks' bigs just aren't very good at rim protection, so they keep attacking the basket and can get a bunch of free throws. I see no way the Pacers can't win this game. Close out with the year with an obscenely good month and a nice win at 25-12 going into the new year would be awesome. There's been like the rumblings of a Locked On Pacers curse on Twitter where we talk bad about a player and they play well or vice versa. So maybe we're going to be wrong. Adam's not even here. Maybe I'm going to be wrong. We'll see. But I do not anticipate the Hawks winning this game. So let's take a break real quick and then talk about the Detroit Pistons game because it was just an absolute hoot. So let's do that. So that Pistons game was awesome. I'm jealous that Adam got to do the show after that game because, I mean, that was like every possession was fun. They had that dunk contest going on in the fourth quarter where McDermott dunked and Thad dunked and Thad dunked again. Everybody was shooting well from the field. They were playing really good defense. Darren Collison dunked the ball. Darren Collison crossed over Blake Griffin, hit a fadeaway three in his face. Pretty much everything was going right, and it was just a joy to see. And then for me, the thing that I got excited about, I got to see Kylo Quinn, Aaron Holiday, TJ Leaf, and Devon Reed play, which is rare these days to see those guys get in the game. It was just excellent. Like, everything was perfect, and this is probably an overreaction because the Pistons aren't super great. But they're going to be like a 500 team, right? To just destroy a 500 team at home like this just gives you hope that, like, if this team playing up to their peak, this Pacer team playing up to their peak, they could beat just about anybody. If they beat the Raptors, I think you'd have to believe that. Then they'd have a win over every top team in the East and be dominating all the other teams in the East. So this was a very encouraging game to look forward from. And I think that we have a lot of good stuff to take away. Tyreke Evans is kind of rounded a corner now that he's getting, I don't know, this is going to be the wrong medical term, but knee injections, knee shot, something that's making him not have as much pain. But after, like, he was down to like 12 minutes a game for a bit when in his really long, not good slump. He played 19 minutes after playing really good against the Hawks, and he had 10 points and 3 assists, only one turnover. He missed all of his threes, which is rare for him. So if he even makes one of those now, he's 5-for-9 with 13 points, and it looks like a great game for a guy who didn't play that much. So you like what you see more from him. He looks more decisive and like he's moving downhill, not on a flat surface when he's moving around. And I don't think we're talking enough about how effective he's been on the defensive end. He's a big-bodied guy who's kind of quick. He can hang with anybody, and the Detroit guards were really struggling with the Detroit bench guards were really struggling with the Tyreke Kodjo thing. Calderon only put up 2 shots. Langston Galloway missed all 6 of his shots. Luke Kennard was the only player to get anything going for the Pistons. So they couldn't stop Kennard, but they stopped the other 2 bench guards for the Pistons, no problem. So those 2 guys are just havoc wreakers for the bench, and it's fun to see them. To see them do so well. They both combined for 4 steals. Usually games when, like, things are really fun and awesome have a lot of steals and running, so only 11 is pretty interesting. But I think the fun all came from the dunking and just everything breaking their way down the stretch, because a lot of times they were up 20-something at halftime. I really should have this right in front of me. They were up 13 at halftime. I thought it was much higher than that. And sometimes they kind of dwindle those leads away and then have to fight at the end. But then they're up 22 going into the fourth, and then they just blew the doors off of them again in the fourth quarter. The Pacers' worst quarter was the second, in which it was 26-24. If you want to look at something funny, go check out the lead tracker for this game, because the Pacers literally led end-to-end and had a 37-point lead. They just... it was not even close. It was not even a close basketball game. Just so many guys did everything right. Bojan missed all of his threes, and so did Tyreke. Other than that, I feel like they only shot 26.3% from 3, which, like, that's crazy for how dominant they were in this game. If Bojan had hit 1 or 2 of his threes and Tyreke did the same, I think this would have been, like, peak Pacers. Vic obviously did not do well, and I'll talk about that in a second, but... like, every role player did what I think their apex is in terms of impact on the court, which is just insane. You know, Bojan had 12 points without hitting a 3. Like, he was doing well getting to the rim. Thad Young had 17 points, 3 rebounds, and a million hustle plays. He had a sequence with, like, 3 crazy hustle plays in a row, and he dove and tapped the ball off a piston and then dunked, and it was awesome. Miles Turner was 8 of 11. With 17 points. Sabonis had 19 points and 12 rebounds. Collison didn't miss a shot. Kodjo and Tyreke, I just talked about. McDermott had 12 points and hit a 3. Like, every role player did great. So, in theory, if you can get these guys in these roles doing this well in, like, a playoff setting or, like, against good teams, you can beat anybody, because it didn't seem like anything they did was unrepeatable or, like, freakish. They just played their game really well and everything worked out. And that's what fun games do. They give you blind optimism for the future, which I'm normally not a guy to get caught up like that, but it's hard not to with how well they did in this game. But now I'll talk Oladipo, the not fun part. 2-for-9 from the field, only 7 points. The only guy outside of Kodjo not in double figures in the rotation. 5 rebounds, 7 assists, that's good. Plus minus of 12, he's still effective, but he just looks different. His role is different, and there was a time when we thought it was easing back from injury, but now it seems like premeditated enough that maybe this is, like, his role now is a little reduced. He did a great interview with Vice Sports you should go check out if you get the chance. I think it was Michael Pina, but I might be wrong, where he talked about how there's new coverages coming at him now that teams know how solid he is. And, you know, he knows that 2 guys coming at the ball, I think, I don't remember exactly how he phrased it, but, like, 2 guys coming at the ball means there's an advantage somewhere else. Something like that, which is right. And he moves the ball around well, hence 7 assists. But he's not shooting as much. He's deferring more. And that's not worrisome because they're winning. No problem still. But his role is very much different. And that is going to be something to monitor going forward because it just is. When your star is playing in a different role, that changes everything. So who knows what's going on with Vic, his role, and his success. And the team is still doing well, so maybe it's not actually that serious of a thing to monitor. But yeah, his usage is probably down. I'm going to look into that very soon. So just keep an eye on Vic's role. But everything else was awesome from this game. I mean, I might just rewatch this one every once in a while to do fun stuff. But it was awesome. They destroyed the Pistons, who were 3-1 against them last year, so that's also encouraging to see. But let's do another fun thing. Let's talk about the Pacers have an open roster spot, what they can do with that, and some key dates coming up that could affect that. So stay tuned every one more break for a fun thing. All right, everyone's favorite thing, player movement. People love free agency and trades. I do too. I don't like speculating on trades. I think that's boring, but I like speculating on free agency more because it just seems more plausible. Like, trades were just grasping at straws. Free agency's like, this guy is clearly available and a need. And there's a reason I'm doing this now. So the Pacers have 14 guys on the roster and 2 two-way guys, and you can have 15, so they could add another player. And when they waived Ben Moore back in early November, I thought maybe they were going to convert Edmund Sumner to that last spot and have an open two-way spot. But instead, they had did nothing so far, and they've just rolled with this roster. Well, there's two dates coming up that are important to think about here. I'll do the second date first, but it doesn't really matter. January 15th is, I was about to say in 15 days, I'm an idiot. January 15th is coming up. That's the last day you can sign players to two-way contracts. Now, the Pacers have two filled two-way contract spots, but what they can do is they can convert either Devon Reed or Edmund Sumner to be a part of the pro team, and they've both been good. Reed hasn't played very much, but he's been okay in his minutes, and then Sumner, we all saw what he can do in the preseason. He's been killing it in Fort Wayne 2, could be a quality depth guard. You know, but either one of them could get promoted to the roster, and then they'd have an open two-way spot they have to sign a guy to before that that January 15th date, which is certainly possible. That's kind of what they did last year. If you remember, they converted Poitras, waived Damian Wilkins, and then got Ben Moore in on that two-way before signing Trevor Booker. So that's certainly possible and worth monitoring. I don't know if they would do that for Reed. I just, like, Reed is the worst of the two, and they play a similar position, and Sumner probably has the future, the more likely has of the future here, so maybe Sumner has the chance, but I don't know if they're going to push for that or not. They'll have early bird rights, restricted free agency coming up for Sumner if they don't convert him, and I don't see a reason to at this point, with Holiday just right there in his way anyway. So that's just something to monitor if they want to get another guy in on a two-way, but the real date is January 5th here. That is the date that you can start signing guys to 10-day contracts. So now they have this open roster spot. They can add contributors when they need it for injury insurance. Guys are going to start getting bought out to sign these 10 days and be more available. Just a lot of changes could happen. And then somewhere in there, last year was the 7th or 8th, I don't remember. No, last year you had to be waived on the 7th. That way you're a free agent by the 10th, because that's when contracts become fully guaranteed for non-guaranteed guys. So there's going to be a lot of actual roster movement around the NBA in the next 10 days, and most of it's going to be non-guaranteed back end of the roster dudes. But there will be guys becoming available, 10-day contracts getting signed. And I think the Pacers might pursue some of these. Last year they only used one. It was that weird period where Darren Collison surprised us all around the All-Star break and had surgery. And then they had like a void at the guard spot. Joe Young was playing, not big minutes, but Joe Young was playing backup minutes, basically. So they brought in Trey McKinney-Jones, if you'll remember. He was on the Mad Ants last year for most of the year for 10 days, and he didn't do much of anything. He played for 1 minute, which was cool, but that's literally his entire NBA career. So that's an option for them, too. But these 10 days allow them to do stuff like that, and I would not be surprised to see them make that kind of move. Again, I don't know where it would be, but you know, people can get hurt all the time, and that's where the demand comes from. They have a lot of good players on the Mad Ants. A lot of them have Pacers ties anyway. But you know, they could call up somebody to fill in for 10 days, but they still have the open spot, and they'll probably end up using it. No, they will 100% end up using it by March 1st in some way, because if you're on the roster by 5 p.m. March 1st, you can play in the playoffs and not just the rest of the regular season. So that's when the day they signed Trevor Booker last year was that day. That's something they'll look forward to do probably, is get it like a depth guy or a contributor there. And there's a lot of, you know, this could be a buyout guy. I could just be guessing, but like someone like Corey Brewer is still a free agent. Like Corey Brewer was okay last year for the Thunder and the Lakers and stuff. Like he's an all right basketball player. You know, maybe he, and the Rockets. I just dropped my, my fidget spinner that I usually use the entire time I'm talking on these. So they'll have like availability to sign a guy like Brewer who could, you know, give him tweener minutes at the forward spot, or Luke Babbitt's a really good shooter. And I just wrote an article about all of this if you want to get more intricate with who and why they could add guys for 8 points, 9 seconds. But what I think, I don't really want to guess because that's tough. But I think what ultimately ends up happening is they just use 10 days for injuries until the buyout market. I don't think they convert any of their two-way guys. The only way I think they convert a two-way guy is they'd convert Sumner, and then they'd waive Anibogu and then use EK spot to sign someone else, because I think they want a 10th guy. It never hurts to add that depth before the playoffs, and I don't think EK has a future in Indiana personally, so they could do that. But I think what will end up happening is nothing in terms of two-way movement, and then maybe they'll use a 10-day or two, just because, I mean, it's not our money, it's Herb Simon's money, so if Herb doesn't want to spend it, they won't use any 10 days. But like maybe they bop in a 10-day or two when there's some injuries, and then they sign someone on the buyout market come that time. If the Mavs fall off and want to tank, like Wes Matthews in Dallas seems like an easy option. Pretty much any underachieving team with expiring contracts are options here. Those dudes who want to make the same amount of money but play somewhere better are options. And there'll be a lot of them that will be way more clear when it actually happens. But it's just stuff to keep an eye on. So now that these dates with the 10 days and the two ways are on their way, it's going to be interesting to keep an eye on the roster movement, and the Pacers could be a part of it because they have an open spot. So just keep your eye on that. Player movement's always fun. But that's what we got for today, folks. We'll be back in 2019. Haha, see you next year. I hate that joke so much. I am not at work today. I'm on PTO, so thankfully I don't have to hear anyone say that when I leave at the end of the day. But yeah, we'll be back tomorrow to talk about the Hawks game, I'm hoping. If not, I'll drop something in the middle of the day. Well, yes, that'll happen no matter what. It's just the timing of day it'll be released is up for debate. But yeah, we'll see you guys tomorrow to talk Hawks, and have a great rest of your day.